All right, if you turn your Bible this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Going forward or spinning your wheels. Going forward or spinning your wheels. Verse number 2 of Deuteronomy 1 says, there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel. Here was a journey that was supposed to take, or could take, 11 days. 11 days. But they had been on the journey for 40 years. Those 40 years, they were going around in circles, wandering in the wilderness. And it's really kind of the picture of, it can be the picture of many people's Christian lives. A whole lifetime of salvation and having made very little progress. Maybe you've been saved a number of years, but you know, as far as spiritual progress, you're still afraid to make decisions for God. You're still in love with the world. You're still battling the same sins you battled with the day you got saved. A life of spinning your wheels. It's hard to think that a Christian could do that. And yet, we have this picture in the Old Testament of the people of Israel that is actually happened, but it's also given for our learning. As we know today, there are many people who are been saved a long time. And very little change in their life. Very little change in their life. Be very sad for a person. In fact, some people at the end of their life are doing worse spiritually than when they were first saved. They would fit into this category. As I was thinking about today's message, actually, I was thinking on the other side of the issue here. I was thinking on the other side of the issue of seizing the opportunity that is set before us. And the two things kind of go together. Now, we have a couple circumstances in the first chapter of Deuteronomy that I think are parallel, are interesting. We realize that in Numbers 13 and 14, the people of Israel, after having left the land of Egypt, having gone to Mount Horeb, getting the law, the tabernacle being built and set up, and God teaching the people great lessons of faith in the wilderness, He leads them to Kadesh Barnea, and he sends the 12 spies into the land to view the land. And we know that ten of the spies gave an evil report. Two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, gave a good report. And the 10 spies who gave an evil report, they discouraged the people. And the people said, let's get a captain, let's go back to Egypt. You know, a lot of Christians do that. They find, they come to a place that they have to go forward. Instead of going forward, they find someone who will lead them back into the world. Go back into the world. Go backwards spiritually. And instead of faith, they live by doubt. And so the people of Israel believed the scorners. They believed the doubters. They were influenced by them. And they said, we're not going to obey God. We're not going to go into the land. We might get killed. Our children might be killed. You know, we're not the people there. This is just too difficult, too much faith. We don't have that kind of faith. We're not going to do it. And God said, okay. You're not going to do it? Have your way. Isn't that amazing? God does say that to people. Have your way. You don't want to do right? You don't want to go forward? Have it your way. And so they did for 40 years. They're wandering in the wilderness, doing nothing, accomplishing nothing. Now, God was good to them. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had manna every day. God took care of them. But all that generation that said no to God died. On this 40th year, as they stood in Moab on the eastern side of the River Jordan, all that generation had died. All the doubters had died. All the naysayers had died. There was a new generation. You know, and so now, this new generation, all these children, who their parents said, oh, we don't want our children to get hurt. Now all these children, now they are standing in the shoes of their parents of 39 years earlier with the same opportunity, with the same decision of what they're going to do. And now, so we have a new generation and a new opportunity. You know, I want us to backtrack a little bit here. A new generation. What is unique about the new generation? Well, the new generation hadn't said no to God. The new generation hadn't said no to God. Are you characterized by saying no to God? You know, one of these days, God will say, that's it. Forget it. I'm going to find somebody who says yes. You say, Pastor, that doesn't sound too scriptural. Well, I think this is a pretty good illustration, but let's look at some other places in the Bible. that really show that this is true. Turn with me to Book of Romans. In Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is talking about the fact that the Jewish people were set aside. The Messiah had come. They had refused him. And the Bible likens Israel as a natural grapevine. And that because Israel said no to God, they were cut off. And the Gentiles, the people who the Jewish people considered dogs, goyim, unworthy, they were not God's choice. And the Bible says here in Romans 11 that God grafted in the wild branch into the vine. And so, for now these 2,000 years, God has used as the means of doing His work the Gentiles. But what? So let's read what it says here. It says, verse 11, how I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be to the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them, the Jewish people, be the reconciliation of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, and the lump also is holy, and the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not thyself against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say, then the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, that's true. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And if they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cast out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, the Jewish people, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Notice, God set aside his people. Why? Unbelief. And in his grace, he looked for someone who would believe. And the Gentiles believed. But he says to the Gentiles, he says, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. The Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the picture. Now for 2,000 years, the mandate has been given to Christians, which are mainly Gentiles, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Today, most Christians, they're not much interested in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Most Christians are caught up in sports, or in making money, or in having pleasure. Their will, their purpose in life is not to do the will of God. To them, it's as though Christ died in vain. As long as I can have a nice little life, forget the rest of the world. And God said, we know the Bible tells us that's exactly what's going to happen. The rapture is a deliverance, but the rapture is also the beginning of the judgment. God will take the believers off this earth, and then he will choose 144,000 Jews, 12,000 men out of every tribe. And what will they do? They will be given the baton again. And they will do what the churches and believers have failed to do. They will take the gospel and give to every tribe, every tongue, every nation. You see, there is such a thing. There is such a thing as the fact that we say no to God, he'll find somebody else. Your family, is it going to live for God? He'll let you spend the rest of your life spinning your wheels, making money, but doing nothing for God. He'll let you do it. But when you die, can't take your money with you. Only thing you can take with you when you die is what you've done for the will of God. That's the only thing you take home with you. You know, same principle is taught in the book of, in the Gospel of Luke. Oh, we turn there for a moment. Luke chapter 3. We don't spend too much time here, but I think this is a principle that most of God's people don't think about. They don't realize it. Luke chapter 3 and verse 8. Here's John the Baptist. Here's John the Baptist. He's come. Preparing the way of the Messiah. Wow. Filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. He's preaching, repent. Kingdom of God is at hand. Messiah is coming. Majority of the people reject the message. The people of God, the Messiah has come. Oh, they say, where are Abraham's children? You know, where are the salt of the earth? God needs us. Luke 3:7, then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers. How do you like to be called a viper? O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. What's he saying? You know what? He says God desires to have a people who love him and will obey him and will do his will. You have been his chosen people. He has called Abraham and your descendants of Abraham. But if you won't do what God wants you to do, God doesn't need you. He can take the stones of the ground and make up someone that will love him and obey him. You know, all across America, you know what's happening? You had kids raised in Christian homes. They have no desire. Many places, they have no desire to serve God. And so what's God doing? You know what God's doing? He's taking people raised in drug houses, and he's saving them. And they're on fire for God. You know, here's a man right here. How old are you? Yeah. 33. You know what? We've been here over 40 years. There was young people raised in this church who should be on fire for God today that aren't. But you know what? God doesn't need them. They need God. So what does he do? Takes a man raised in a drug house and saves him on fire for God. That's how God works. Jesus said to the, over and over, he said, what did he say? They that be first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Those that are first, those who have every opportunity in the world to do the will of God and refuse it, they shall be last. And the last, those who have no reason that they should be the followers of God, no opportunity, no privilege, God will save them. Why? Because they'll give glory to God. You know, here we have Deuteronomy. A new generation. A new generation. I call it a new opportunity. A new opportunity. Now, this is what's exciting about it. Yeah, no generation of people, all the doubters have died. All the scoffers are gone. All the naysayers are gone. There's a new group that now they have the opportunity to do what God wants them to do. That's exciting. Now, you know, the parallel is the fact, number one, every time anybody gets saved, they're a part of the new generation. They're a new generation. They're a group of people that have been marred by the unbelief of the so-called people of God. They have not been marred by the rebellion of the so-called people of God. They have not been marred by the worldliness of the so-called people of God. They're new. Have every opportunity now to do everything that God wants them to do. That's the new believer. Churches have stages, which now there's a new era. The doubters are gone. Scoffers are gone. People who want to do right are left. God has some instruction for us. A new era. God is always looking for that new era, that new opportunity, that new blood that wants to do the will of God. And this is where we are in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And you know, there's a sense in every one of our lives that we can come to that place that we can say, you know what? I am tired of spinning my wheels. I am tired of just going along, and, you know, being the same grouch I always was my whole life. You know, being the same obstinate, rebellious, you know, a bitter person. I'm just tired of it. I want to go forward. And God is always looking for that person who is ready to start anew and afresh. That's where we're at. Deuteronomy 1. And so, I want to think of the era. And I'll just be forthright. You know, as I was thinking about our revival meetings, our meetings that we had, I think, boy, you know, it was really great preaching. And it was a blessing to God's people. Christians, many Christians made a lot of decisions. But we didn't see one soul come to Christ. And I thought, it's time to go forward. Time to go forward. It's a time to become a soul-saving church. Time to become a soul-saving church. And so, the setting. It says, that we have a new opportunity. We have a new opportunity to go forward. It's interesting what he says. There's 11 days' journey. Took them 40 years. Didn't get anywhere. Now it's time to go forward. So what do we have to do, first of all? First of all, we have to learn from the mistakes of the past. We have to learn from the mistakes of the past. Why did they wander for 40 years? Why did they wander for 40 years? Now we can take the shortcut and go to Numbers 13, which really Deuteronomy 1 through 3 is telling us. But we have to learn from the failures of the past. What was the number of the failures of our fathers? What is the failures of those who wander? Number one, don't say no to God. Don't say no to God. Don't say no to God. In Numbers 13, Caleb stilled the people before Moses, said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than they.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel." Verse 4 of chapter 14, "And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt.'" Don't say no to God. You know what? You go backwards and you can spend your life going around circles when you say no to God. When God brings you that opportunity to go forward in your spiritual life and brings you to a place of obedience, to say no to the world, to say yes to God, to become godly, to do the will of God, whatever it is, you say no. That's dangerous. Don't say no to God. You know, many people say no to God because you know what? They're listening to somebody else rather than God. Maybe they're listening to a friend. They're listening to an unsuccessful Christian. A Christian who has been unsuccessful in their life, and they're advising you to be just like them. Don't say no to God. The second lesson we need to say, realize, is that the lesson they did not learn is that opportunity must be taken by faith when it appears. Caleb said, "Let us go up at once, right now." And the people said, "No, we better think about this." "No, we've been thinking about this for 40 days. Now, 40 in the Bible is a number of testing. The 40 days should have been the opposite. They should have come back after 40 days with so much faith and so much excitement about doing God's will. But it was the opposite because they were looking at the world and they were looking at the obstacles. But you notice in this text, as you read it, God says, "Go up now." And the people said, "No." And God said, "Okay, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And then they said, "Oh, okay, we'll do the will of God." God says, "Too late. Too late." You know, I've realized that in the Christian life, one of the keys to the Christian life is the ability to say yes to God in big things at a moment's notice. You get that? The key to the Christian life is the ability to say yes to God at a moment's notice. Now, how do you practice that? Well, there's a lot of ways you practice that. But, you know, this is kind of the telltale. You know, when a preacher preaches, now we had a great opportunity this week, great preaching. I noticed some of our people didn't go forward once. Now, maybe you made a decision in your pew, but I think if you hadn't been going forward for a long time, it probably would have been a good time to go forward. But you know what? The person who can make a decision about their spiritual life by hearing the truth
and act on it,
that's the person that God can use. But a person, when they hear the truth and they know it's the truth, they hesitate on acting, that's not a good sign. Now, it's one thing to be, you know, really, you don't really get it. You know what I mean? And you got to really think it through. But when it's clear, you got to be able to act. You have to be able to act. Caleb says, let us go up at once. You know, indecision is not a good characteristic of life. Indecision is not a very good characteristic. And spiritual indecision is far worse. They came back from the land. Caleb says, let's go. And people said, no. God says, okay, you're going to get the result of it. They said, oh, we'll change your mind. God said, no. You know, I've recognize that to be so in so many different areas of life. I think you practice it every week when you come to church. You know, you practice it at a very young age as a Christian. You practice at a very young age as a Christian. You make big decisions for God. That's how you practice it. You make big decisions. You know, this is easy to illustrate because I remember it. Probably there's better illustrations. I remember the day that I went to Faith Baptist Church on Sunday morning, May of 1969. Went to church there. After the church service, I said, Pastor Teasdale, I'm going to join this church. I want to join this church. He said, whoa, not so fast. I knew that his doctrine was right. I knew it was biblical. I knew that all I needed to know, that's it. I'm going to join his church. He was taken back because he didn't usually meet those kind of people. Most kind of people came, sat in the pew for 5 years and then decided. That's exaggeration. But you know what? You got to make big decisions at the moment of the opportunity. Something had happened at in the church here, and the Lord used it to make me think about numbers here. And I realized, you know what? When God gives you an opportunity, you better move on it. And so, one day, it was right maybe a day or two after that, I drove down the road. And there is a for sale sign in front of N9464 Stone School Road. Oh, for sale. I said to myself, this land will only be for sale one time in my lifetime. That was on a Friday or a Thursday. I called the realtor. I said, I want to see it. He says, well, we're showing it to people Saturday morning for the first time. He said, I'll be there. Tanya and I went there. Now, you got to remember, we didn't have any money. We went there, looked at the place. I said to the realtor, I want to put an offer in this place right now. 11:30 in the morning, put an offer above the asking price. By faith. Church can't, churches can't act that fast. And so, That night, the realtor boss called me from Arizona. Or whatever. The realtor called his boss in Arizona. He's vacationing in Arizona. And told him, hey, we put this out 1 hour and it's already sold. An offering. And the boss got in his car, drove all day and all night, got here on the next day, and presented the offer to the family. He says, this is too soon. We don't know what to do. To make a long story short, by Friday, that property was sold. There was no time for any dilly-dallying around. You know, when you're doing God's work, you have to be willing to act and act immediately. When you know something's God's will, you better act. You know the person who doesn't act? The person is thinking, how much is this going to cost me? You know what? This is going to be a drag for a long time. You know, it's going to put some pressure on for a while, you know. No, I don't know. Wait a minute. That doesn't work. God gave the people an opportunity. There's no time for a delay. You have to have faith. The faith to put your life on the line quickly. You know what? People can be decisive for bad so easily. You know what? They were decisive. Yeah, you know what? They were really quick to decide, no, we can't do it. Isn't that right? No, we can't do it. I can't make that decision. No, oh, no, no, no. Boy, it's amazing how people are so quick to make the wrong decision. But to make a right decision? Oh, man. You know, they got Jack Frost under their feet. Wow. What do we learn from the people of Israel? We realize there is a serious penalty for refusing God's will and His purpose. There is a serious penalty. Oh, you say, serious penalty. That means you go zap. You know, lightning from heaven. You know, boom. You know, a big 2x4 top of their head. Nope. Nothing like it at all. You know what it was? 40 years of lethargy. 40 years of lethargy. 40 years of sleep. 40 years of numbness. 40 years of undecisiveness. 40 years of just drifting along. Yeah, guess what? They were just drifting along following the circumstances of life. Now, God was good. God was merciful. He took care of them. They were the people of God. We would say they died and went to heaven. Praise God! But they did nothing for God. Their life never changed. You know, how sad that a person, instead of becoming more zealous for God, as time goes on, becomes less zealous. How is it that a person, as time goes on, instead of becoming more of a servant, they become more selfish? Die like that as a Christian? Whew. That'd be sad. We need to learn from the mistakes of the people of God who are ahead of us. Have you taken time to do that? Do you realize? I don't know where I was. Don't remember where I was. This person was saying, you know what? The average people who came to a church were still living for God and zealous for God. The average church would be in the thousands, and it wouldn't be a compromising church either. The fact is that many people are just like the people of Israel, who had every opportunity in the world to become what God wanted them to be, and they refused it. So some simple requirements of doing the will of God. One, decisive obedience. Decisive obedience. Decisive obedience. Immediate surrender to the will of God. We have Deuteronomy. What does he say? Behold, I have set the land before you. What does the land represent? The land represents the victories, the accomplishments, the souls that need to be won, the changes that need to be taking place in our life, all that God wants in His will for our life. He says, behold, I set the land before you. Go! 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 And do something about it. Go! It's an active term, action word, go! Secondly, have faith. Look to God, not to the circumstances. Look to God, not to the circumstances. Look to God. What did Caleb say? He said, he says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Look to God, not to the circumstances. What will people think? How difficult will it be? What if this happens? What if that happens? Will it work out? You say, oh, the day will never come that we can go down knocking on doors in Maquonago and someone's going to get saved that day. It'll never happen that we'll have a church service and there'll be unsaved people coming in ready to get saved. Never happen. Look to God, don't look at the circumstances. The person who looks at the circumstances will never do anything for God. Never. Never works that way. Don't look at your inabilities. Look at God's ability. Dependent faith. And this last one is pretty simple. But do it immediately. Do it immediately. Immediately take steps forward today. Today. Say to yourself, now what, God, what is it that I need to do now. What is it that I need to do now? Maybe the answer to that is, you know, I got to get some worldliness out of my life. It's robbing me of my faith. Then do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. Hey, you know, I need to have more faith. I need to read my Bible more. Okay. Do it now. Yeah. I need to do it now. I'm going to go home. And today, I'm going to start reading my Bible like I should. Say, you know what? Need to have more prayer. Okay. Set your plan today. What am I going to do about my prayer life? You know what? I need to just get back and start talking to people about Jesus. Okay? Don't wait. Decide now. Now. You say, well, I never witnessed before. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Decide right now. You're going to start witnessing. You say, that doesn't, oh, yeah, it can happen. That's how you go forward. Is immediate steps of obedience. Not delayed steps. I like what it says. In Deuteronomy 4:4, he said, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Cleave unto the Lord. Boy, talking about obedience, talking about doing what's right. Just some simple things. Cleave to the Lord. The new opportunity. You know, for you, maybe you're not at the place that I am in my spiritual life. But you know, it would be good to take a look at your life. And be good to really ask yourself if you are a merry-go-round Christian. You're just going around and around and around. You know, you've got action and you're making some movement, but you're not going anywhere. No change has taken place in your life. No forward progress. God's speaking to your heart. Is that what, that's how you want to die? You want to die that way? Die and stand before Jesus? Just basically the same you've always been? Never been a soul winner? Never been victorious. No, we don't want to die that way. But everybody will who says no to God. Says no to God. And you know, it's amazing what those little things can be. I remember one time there was a man who had gotten saved in this church. And I said, Steve, you know, I think it's time you start working in junior church. You know, you got to be more than a pew sitter. You got to start doing something for God. He says, Pastor, I'll think about it. 2 weeks later, he says, nah, I don't think I'll do that. That was it. He's never gone forward since then. Never gone forward since then. It was a little thing. It was a little thing. But God was testing him.
You're going to go forward? You know, there's a lot of things that could be said, right? What if the pastor says, hey, let's go soul winning? And you say, no. That could be the beginning of the merry-go-round journey. I don't know what it is, but that's not what God wants. He says, go in and possess the land. Amen. Look at the Word of God and think, you know, God, I know this is the kind of person you want me to be. This is what you want me to do in your, for you. Okay? Go in and possess the land. Whatever that first step is today, and you know what it is, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. You say, I don't know how it could ever work out. Have faith. God's a great God. He's bigger than us. Praise the Lord. Now, you know what? Anybody that's unsaved, most of them, they think, oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't really be saved. I couldn't really live Christian life, you know. Man, I'd certainly want to be a part of that really conservative Mequonago Baptist church, you know. Man, no. No. That no is serious. That's serious. There's only one right answer to God, and that's yes. And it's only an answer that comes by faith. There's plenty of deniers. There's plenty of distractors. There's plenty of naysayers. There are plenty of people who are losers that want you to have a losing life too. You need to say yes to God. You know, you say it's scary. It's not nearly as scary as standing before God having lived your life in the merry-go-round, or scary when the grim reaper comes ready to take your soul to hell. That's scary. Today, are you ready to accept Christ? Then do it. Even if you're not ready, you better do it. Decide you're ready. What is that decision? You've been indecisive all your life? Change it today. Amen? Change it today. That's the devil's trick, indecisiveness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this great example in the Bible. And now, Lord, even right now, help us to think about obedience to you in our life. And then, Lord, help us think about faith. We don't need half-hearted obedience. We need obedience and faith. And Lord, help us put our eyes upon you. You're greater than us. And you can do it, we can't. Lord, you can change our lives. You can change this church. Lord, you can bring it about that people getting saved is a regular thing. Not by taking away the message of repentance or separation or holiness. But Lord, you can do it. Help us be people of faith. Help us to go, to obey, to do what we ought to do, because we're obeying you, Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today. You say, Pastor, pray for me. The Lord has spoken to my heart, and I know that there is a definite immediate decision of obedience I need to make in my life today to go forward, and I'm not going to hesitate. I'm not going to hesitate. I want you to pray for me, because I'm going to make that immediate decision of faith to obey God in the area He wants me to. And the Lord has made that clear to you. And this is a day of decision for you. Maybe it's a little one, maybe it's a big one, but it's important that you say yes to God. And you say, Pastor, that's me. God spoke my heart. Pray with me. I want this to be a day of victory for His cause. Okay? Amen? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Lord, thank You for speaking to hearts today. Thank You for decisions that set a pattern for our life of walking with You. And Lord, so I pray You bless Your people. I pray in Your mercy that You will keep tugging at the hearts of those who might be indecisive people who are on the verge of being a merry-go-round Christian the rest of their life. Lord, I pray You'd give them no rest or peace. They would see the consequences, and that in Your mercy You'd give them time to change their mind and to make those important decisions to go forward. And Lord, anyone that's here today that's not saved, I pray that You would speak to their heart and the fact that they need to come to You while they have this opportunity and turn from their sin and turn personally to receive Jesus into their life as their Lord and their Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.